Welcome to the With You Always podcast, brought to you by Sushipe, the online community information platform for disciples. Here we invite followers of Jesus Christ to share reflections and wisdom from the journey. Our hope is to instill a recognition that God is indeed with us always. Today, Trish Irvine from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, shares what God is doing in her life.
Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, which falls the Sunday after Christmas. And so it seems pretty easy to reflect at least on that scene of the Holy Family together immediately surrounding the birth of Jesus. But it's also beautiful to consider what would their lives have looked like as time continued to pass, as they journeyed to Egypt in order to save the life of Jesus, as they later returned, as Jesus grew in age and wisdom and learned how to be a carpenter from his father Joseph, as Jesus begins to prepare for his public ministry. What would life in this family have looked like? And one thing that's beautiful, although maybe odd to people who aren't used to connecting all of these mysteries of the church together, is how even with the birth of Jesus in different icons, they're already mirroring his death. I was reading through this one description of an icon that was speaking about the birth of Jesus. It is showing all of the similarities between his birth and his death, and how the cave where he's born is meant to look like this tomb, and the manger where he's laid is meant to look like a sepulcher, and how all of these different details are foreshadowing the death that is to come. And if we look at that in one way, that seems very sad, to think of death when we're supposed to be rejoicing in the birth of someone, particularly the birth of a savior. But it also seems disingenuous to not link those two things together, that he is born so that he can take on our human experience, to live among us, to sanctify humanity, and then to suffer and die for us so as to save us. And so with that in mind, we see the gospel for today, which is about Jesus being lost in the temple and kind of the anguish that is experienced by his parents during that time. And so from Luke chapter 2, it says, "Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man." And so when we look at the joyful mysteries of the rosary, I remember learning several years ago about how by the end of the joyful mysteries, which was traditionally the last set before you'd move into the sorrowful, and then Pope John Paul II included the luminous mysteries to kind of go in between, but that before the last joyful mystery was the finding of Jesus in the temple, but how already it's beginning to have a tinge of the sorrowful, right? That they lose him, that there's this agony and anxiety that they experience in this loss, and also that that's mirrored in his suffering and death, that he's lost for 3 days, and then they're seeking him, and they don't know where to find him. And then they do, and it's joyful, but there are also questions, which is similar to at his resurrection. There's this joy, but it's also still with this lingering suffering and sorrow over what was inflicted upon him. During the Advent season, I've been slowly making my way through Carol Houselander's The Read of God, and she has some very beautiful meditations about Mary and kind of what must have gone on in her heart during different times. And in one of the chapters, she speaks about the losing of Jesus in the temple. And so just a few passages from this that were kind of striking. So it says, "The striking thing about it is that it was not really loss. Our Lady did not lose Christ. He deliberately went away. He allowed her to imagine him safe in the company of travelers, and without a word, he slipped away and went back to Jerusalem. Nor was this an isolated incident. When she had found him, after 3 days of utter bereavement, he returned with her to Nazareth. But after what must have seemed a very short time to her, he left her again. And from that time forward, her life was a continual seeking for him. We hear of her standing outside in the crowd during his public life, of her following him to the cross, where the very life she had given him was taken away from her. For a brief moment, he was put into her arms again, and then taken up quickly, for there was urgency over the burial, and put into the tomb. Why did Christ treat Our Lady in this way? It was not only to show his absolute trust in her, or her trust in him, although she was the one human being to whom God's will was completely unhindered. It was because Our Lady lived the life of all humanity. Concentrated into her tiny history is the life story of the whole human race, the whole relationship of the redeemed human race with God." And so it was really interesting to me to think about how Mary, on behalf of all of humanity, lives this experience of losing Jesus, and then the joy of finding him again. And then Carol Houselander goes through these different ways we can lose Christ. I want to invite us today to reflect on our experience of the beauty of family life, and to consider the beauty of family life with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and what that might have looked like for them. But then also to consider, what are the ways that we lose Christ, that we experience him leaving, either an emotional experience of desolation and not being with the Lord, or times that we leave Jesus? And how can we seek him today in the ordinary moments of our family lives, our experiences with our friends? How can we seek him in prayer and in the sacraments? How can we live a life of perpetually seeking and following after the Lord so as to conform our entire lives around Jesus? Let us pray. Lord, you know what you are about. You know that you must be in your Father's house, that you must be doing your Father's will. Grant us the same desire to follow after you, to embrace you and to welcome you into every aspect of our lives, into our homes, into our workplaces, with our friends, that you may be the one that we are always seeking. Lord, we thank you for the model that you give us of holy family life as you lived with Mary and Joseph. Redeem all of the suffering, all of the wounds that we've experienced in our own family lives, and help us to seek you in all things. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Eric Gallagher, the founder of Sushipe, the online community and formation platform for disciples. I wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening and also to encourage you to check out our online community at sushipe.co. That's SUSCIPE.co. At sushipe.co, we're constantly offering free book studies, self-guided mini retreats, opportunities for family fun, prayer, and more. If you're interested in engaging with a community of individuals who are desiring to grow deeper in their spiritual lives, check out sushipe.co and get involved today.